Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I am your host, Wanda McKinley, along with co-host Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization for abused men, women, and children. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment, as well as temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help men, women, and children transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient individuals in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower men and women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, as well as uplift them and provide them a new life with a new perspective of what a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating them, and also giving them a new perspective. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was raped from the age of 7 to 18 by my biological father, as well as my stepfather. My ex-husband was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help other women, other men, and children who have walked or may be walking in my shoes. Once again, thank you for joining us today. I'm really excited about the woman that we will be talking to today. And before we get into introducing her and listening to her story, Stephanie, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. What about yourself?
I am great. Now, I know that you are doing multiple things right now. So before you tell everyone about our fundraising events, share everybody where you're at, what's going on, if they, you know, have time to come out, participate, purchase tickets, support. Go into that first and then tell us about our fundraising.
Well, I am currently at our at Destiny Point Christian Center. We are doing our singles conference, which is called the Suits Conference. So if you're not currently doing anything, it's a three-day conference, and you're welcome to come out. Even if you're married, come out, because the approach that they're taking on, you will still be able to get something that will help your marriage in the approach that they're taking. So if you're not doing anything, please come out. It's $30 to register, and it starts tonight. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It starts at 7:30. You can start registering at 6:30. So you can register at 6:30. It starts at 7:30 tonight. Tomorrow at 7:30, and then Saturday it's going from 10 to 2 on Saturday. So you can come out. It's at.
Hello? Oh, did we lose her? If you can hear me, Stephanie, you went absolutely dead. Okay. You're like going in and out. Okay. So. You must be in a bad location at your church.
I don't know, but I'm going to walk out to a different area.
Yes, because we really need to be able to hear you. Now, you're saying that the tickets are $30 and it's
yeah,
a three-day conference?
It's a three-day conference. Can you hear me better
okay.
now?
Yes. And
okay.
You're saying even though it's a singles conference, even married couples can come out and benefit from it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh,
they
okay.
set it up that even if you're married, you'll still be able to get something out of it. But it is
$30. All right.
And the address is 2350 East Mayfield Road, Arlington, Texas, 76014.
Well, thank you, and I hope while you're there trying to multitask, your phone don't go dead again.
I hope not. That was terrible.
All right, can you tell us about our fundraising events that we have going on?
Yes, we currently have our Kroger Plus Rewards card. If you currently have a Kroger Plus Rewards card, if you connect it to We Are Survivors, if you go to Kroger Plus, if you go to Kroger.com and connect it to We Are Survivors, or if you get a Kroger Plus Rewards card and you go to Kroger.com and connect it to We Are Survivors each quarter, according to what you spend, they will give We Are Survivors a donation. If you have a TomTom card or if you get a TomTom card, if you go to TomTom.com and download the form, or if you contact us, then we'll be happy to get you a form. They, according to what you spend, they will give us a donation. If you have a Compass Bank account, or if you open a Compass Bank account, and each time you use each time you use your account, then they'll give us a donation. And then we also do the CPN discount card. It's $15. And half of that comes to us as a fundraiser. Then any or all of those, and I can assist you with getting set up with those. My number is 817-320-2571. Again, 817-320-2571. So you can either text or call me. And then we also participate in the photography fundraiser. And that one I'll let you tell them about that one, since you have already participated in, you know, taking your pictures on that one. I think it would only be fair for you to share in that one because you had those beautiful pictures in that one. So I'll go ahead and let you share.
All right. Thank you. Okay. It's called the Purple City Project, which is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot campaign. The photographer, his name is Charles, a.k.a. City. And what this does is the photo shoot highlights the color purple, which is the purple for domestic violence. It can be a personal photo shoot or a professional, and you can either wear something purple, be it lipstick, jewelry, men, something purple on your body, clothes, socks, shoes, what have you, or you can just do the purple background. I'm going to talk about two packages that he has, and the first one is actually a $100 value. It's in what he is cutting in half, about $55. It's a 20-minute session for up to four people, unlimited shots, and you get one look, ladies, so that's one outfit, and two edits, which means out of all the pictures that he may take, you can pick the best two that you like to actually allow him to do whatever he's going to do with magic, and then you can take him home. And then you have the $80 package, which is valued at $160. It is a 45-minute session, and it's up to four people, unlimited shots, two looks. That means you get to wear two different outfits, four edits, which means you get to pick four pictures. And as Stephanie said, I had the privilege of actually doing this, and I took 303 pictures, and I shall always tell the truth. I did this in November, and it's getting ready to be May, and I still have not picked my four pictures. That's how hard it is, and that's how good he is. Part of the proceeds from the pictures, though, will be donated to We Are Survivors so that we may be able to provide hotel rooms for men, women, and children who are trying to get away from a situation and there are no beds available in shelters. A lot of people in the community don't really know how hard it is to find a place to go when you need it. And the shelters, the domestic violence shelters, are actually overflowing in Dallas County as well as Tarrant County. So it's one of our goals as We Are Survivors to provide a place until we get our own emergency placement shelter and our transitional housings that we are diligently working towards. We want to be able to put somebody in a safe haven, because if it is heart-wrenching to receive a phone call from a woman that's crying, and you're making phone calls, trying to find placement, trying to find somewhere for her to go, and everywhere you call, there's no beds. So We Are Survivors really, really, really are pushing towards being that answer, getting that phone call and say, where are you? Here we come. because we have a bit. So until that day comes, we have a lot of fundraising going on, the CPN card, Tom Thumb, Kroger's, Compass Bank. Compass Bank is really easy. Compass Bank, you don't even have to spend any money. All you have to do is link it up to your debit card. And every time you use your debit card, every time you swipe your debit card, We Are Survivors gets a percentage of what you're spending. So you're buying all the necessary things, you're going on with everyday life, and all you have to do is use your debit card and you help someone. Even with your Kroger card or your Tom Thumb card, we all eat. We all go grocery shopping. You don't even have to donate a dollar or $5 on top of your bill. Whatever you spend, a percentage of that goes to We Are Survivors. These monies are going to help men, women, and children that are in abusive situations that need to be somewhere where they feel safe, even if it is just for a night, until we are able to provide them with temporary emergency shelter and or transitional housing. So we're not asking you to come out of your pocket on top of everyday living. We're just asking you to link in with us. So as you live every single day, you're contributing to men, women, and children that need your help. Now, I'm going to get off my soap opera box because I'm really, really, really excited. I met this young lady at a fashion show last Friday, Arise International, called Runway of Hope, and we had a blast. And it is amazing how God puts people, his children, in each other's path. It is amazing how you can bond with someone and in 5 seconds, 5 minutes, and feel like you've known them for a lifetime.
Yeah.
How you can laugh and how you can play and just giggle. And it was amazing. I didn't know her story and she didn't know mine. But oh, when I heard her story, I was like, oh my God, wow. And I even went back today and, of course, read up on it. And I really don't want to give too much away. I'm going to let her tell it. But when I read up on the story, I remember when these events happened. And to meet a survivor for something that happened when I heard, I was like, wow, and I remember. And this was, I don't mind telling my age, I'm 43. So these events happened a little over 20 years ago. And I remember when it happened. So, without any further ado, I'm excited, so excited to have on our show Adrian Fields. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm happy. I'm tired. I'm busy. I am pushing for. I got a list of things I could say, but overall, I'm blessed, and I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited to have met you. I'm excited to have shared the runway with you. We had so much fun last week.
Yes, we did. So much fun. I enjoyed it too.
Yes, and for I talked to Gwendolyn Jones, for those who don't know, is the founder of Arise International, and her foundation also focuses on sexual assault victims. And she called me, I think it was Monday, yes, because I was on the way to my dreadful workout with my trainer. She called me Monday, and a lot of her feedback that she was getting was people were so amazed at the advocates. That was their favorite part of the show, to see us walk out smiling, to see us happy, to see us gave some of those women that were actually in situations, gave them the strength to say, I want to be just like them. And when she called and told me that, I was like, wow. And yeah. I shared with her a story last week, because I'm also a student. I juggle a whole lot, but I'm also a student. And this one lady that sat next to me for 3 months, I remembered about 6 weeks ago, she walked into class. She was always had a a hoodie on, she just really looked gloomy every week. This particular week, she walked in and we were in class, and tears were streaming down from her face. So I just assumed someone, you know, had passed away in her family, so I asked her if she was okay. Well, she jumped up and ran out of class. We had another class together, and it was communication. So our homework assignments, we had to do everything via video. Well, for me, I realized that I was in a domestic violence situation for 24 years. And for me, I eat, breathe, and sleep domestic violence. So my entire, every homework assignment I did on that video, I was talking about domestic violence signs, what to do, however I can educate whoever was listening. That's what I did in my videos. She called me, now it's been 3 weeks ago, and she just started crying. And she just blurted out that her boyfriend had been abusing her. And because of my videos, it gave her strength to verbalize it, because she's also a rape victim. She was in the Air Force, and her commanding officer raped her. So when her boyfriend started abusing her, it took her to the post-traumatic syndrome disorder, and she couldn't sleep. But when I talked with her and talked through the process, because she's getting ready to drop out of school, and I didn't know till that Tuesday when she got in front of the classroom and she broke down and started crying. She had a bottle of pills sitting in front of her when she called me. I did not know that at the time, and I didn't find out till last week. She was contemplating suicide, and instead of her picking up those pills, she picked up the phone and called me. So when Gwen called me and was sharing with me the feedback she got, it motivates us survivors to keep pushing, to keep telling our story, to keep talking, because it helps us, it heals us, and we never know how our words is going to help somebody else.
Right.
And I said all that to say, Adrian, the floor is yours. Tell us about yourself.
Okay, I thank you guys, first off, for inviting me. I am a mom. That's my number one job. I'm a mom, and I'm a divorced. I'm a woman of God. I'm a licensed evangelist. I play the keyboard. I have my own ministry, Rip the Bandage, which I absolutely love, a prayer line. My life is super-duper busy. But I wouldn't trade anything at this moment in my life, because I understand that everything that I went through was purpose, and that God had a purpose for my life, and for every tear that I cried, and, you know, every fear and every victory. I understand now that God had purpose, that he allowed me to go through what I was going through, because he knew that when I came out, I was going to come out punishing the enemy. So, I want to say that my life as a little girl, I was molested as a little girl. So as I grew up, I had a bunch of issues. So I was very suicidal. I tried to commit suicide. I remember the first time I was 11 years old. And so my life had a bunch of twists and turns in it before I got to the place of the bathtub murderer. So by the time I got raped, I was already wounded, but I had just written a letter to myself saying, today is the first day of the rest of my life. I'm going to go home. I'm going to sleep in the dark. I'm going to be a big girl. I'm going to remember the good things that I'd experienced in my life and not just focus on the negative. You know, I had all of these, I wrote all these things to myself in a letter, and I posted it on my refrigerator. And either that night or a couple of nights later is when Del Devon Chanette, that's the guy's name, that's when he broke into my apartment. Leading up to him breaking in my apartment, I'd been telling people that I felt like someone was following me. But even early on before that, I moved to that particular apartment because when I seen it on the news, when he killed the first lady, I seen it and I was like, I got to get out of here. He's going to rape me. I'm next. He's going to get me. And so everybody just thought like, okay, she is paranoid and crazy. You know, how do you see something on the news and think that you're the next victim, that you're next. And
right.
So I call my family. I'm like, I need somebody to come help me pack my stuff and help me move. And so everybody came. My sister came, everybody, my mom and dad. I remember all my stuff on the truck moving and moving to the new apartment. And when I got there to the new apartment, I didn't feel the fear or anything. You know, it felt like, okay, I'm safer. Why, I don't know. But I felt a sense of peace when I got there. And I was dating someone. I was working at the post office, but I didn't have, like, a lot of company, even though I was dating. And my neighbor that lived upstairs, she would leave a lot. But when she was there, she'd stay at my house or I'd stay at hers, and, you know, or I'd be at work. So this one particular night, I came home. This is the night I decided to sleep in the dark or whatever. It was my first night. I had turned off all the lights, turned the TV off. I turned the radio on. I remember listening to smooth jazz while I was lying there, and I was talking to my mom and sister on the phone because my sister would come over with her boys and spend a night sometimes. And so this particular night, I was lying in the bed, and we were all on three-way, and I heard a noise, like pop, pop is what I heard. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm scared. I just heard a noise. And they're like, my sister was like, well, do you want me to come over? And I was like, no, don't come over because, you know, I have to be a big girl now. You know, I need to learn how to do this. I need to learn how to not live in fear because fear had, like, overtaken me at this point in my life. You know, I was just fearful. And so I went to sleep. And we finally got off the phone. It had to have been like an hour later we got off the phone. I fell asleep. And my next conscious thought was the sound of hearing pants swishing, like, because he had on, like, some of those. It was like a pants that they used to wear back in the day. It was like a jogging pants, but it was like that slicky-like material, so when you walked, you could hear it. And I turned over, and I remember lying there thinking, Lord, please don't let nobody be there. Please don't let anybody be there. Please, please, Jesus, please. I was, like, literally praying, and I turned over slowly, and as I turned over, he just took off running towards me and jumped up on my bed and put a gun in my back, and he was like, do you feel that? And I was screaming. He was saying, don't scream, don't scream, don't scream, covering up my mouth. And it's like I was screaming, but I couldn't. Like, everything just stood still. I couldn't hear anything. You know, it was just like I was just frozen. And he was like, you feel this in your back? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay, if you scream, I'm going to have to kill you. But if you don't scream, I'm not going to hurt you. That's what he was telling me. Like, he's not going to hurt me if I cooperate. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, thinking in my head, like, what? You know, like, this has got to be a nightmare. You know, and even then it didn't just register in my mind that this is the guy from the news. This is the guy that I thought was going to get me anyway, you know. And so he's there in my apartment for like, I want to say it was like two hours. I can't remember, but he was there for like 2 or 3 hours in my apartment. And it had to have been like the longest night of my life, you know. And he's talking to me the whole time. Like, he asked me, what is my name? And I said, I'm not going to tell you my name. And I said, how about you just call me something else? I made up a name. And then he said, well, how about I call you Adrian? And it was like, oh, you know, like, okay, this, yeah, he knows. You know, at that moment, you know, I'm a thinker, so I'm thinking, okay, he knows me. He knows, you know, what's going on. And he said, why do you keep looking at the window? And I said, because my friend's coming over here. And he said, nobody's coming over here. Nobody ever comes over here. So it let me know that he had been watching me, you know.
Wow.
And so,
exactly.
And at this moment, like, he was like, turn on the light. And the way my light switch was, like, the way the old apartments were made, I don't know if apartments are still made like this, but they didn't have a light bulb in the ceiling, but they had a light switch. And so the light switch was connected to the plug, and I had a lamp in the plug. So so that night when I went to sleep, I clicked it instead of turning it off from the light switch. So when he wanted me to turn on the light, or when he tried to turn on the light, he couldn't because it was off. And I told him, I said, I don't want to turn on the light because, I mean, I've been through something like this before. I mean, I'm talking to him like I know him. I said, I've been through something like this before, and I always have to see and remember that face and that thing. I don't want to remember this for the rest of my life. And he just, like, dropped it, you know? And, like, he's raping me and, you know, like, talking, and, like, I'm talking to him, and I'm praying and, you know, just, like, asking him questions, like, why are you doing this? You know, you could just knock on the door and just say, you know, I want to date you or whatever. You know, I'm thinking survival, you know?
Right.
And he's, like, just quiet, like he's just listening to me talk, you know? And then another time, I'm there and I'm praying, like, inside of me, and I'm saying, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. You know, if I got to die, I want to go to heaven. You know, if now is the time. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me, even until the end of the ages. Like, I understood that God was there, even though it was just me and him physically. I understood mm-hmm. that God was there, you know, that he was there, that I knew he was everywhere I was, no matter what or what place I was in my life. And I'm talking to him, and then he's getting ready to leave at one point. And right before he left, I said, why are you doing this? And he said, the devil keeps making me do it. And I said, oh, my God, you've done this before. And he was, like, getting ready to leave. And when I said that, he just stopped and turned around and pushed me by my head back down on the floor and then raped me again. And then I was like, the only thing I could think of was my mom always said that my mouth was going to get me in trouble one day. And I laugh about it now. But at the time, I was thinking, like, what did I say that for? Like, he was about to leave, you know, not thinking, mm-hmm. like, God, I'm about to get killed now. Because, like, he went from not being brutal, but being brutal, but not extreme to, uh-huh. you know, pushing me in the back of my head. And, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't think, like, you know. And I'm just quiet at this point, just thinking, I know I'm about to die. And so then I told him, I said, if you want to leave, I'll give you 15 minutes before you leave. I won't call the police or anything. I'll give you a head start. You know, I'm just, like, trying to talk my way back. And he said, you know, you're different from the others.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I said, why are you doing this? He said, the devil keeps making me, you know. And he's like, you're different from the others. And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. You know, the only thing I can think of, and it's so crazy because when I think about this, especially now having my own daughter, a lot of people used to say that my parents were wrong for always taking us to church. I mean, we were the kids who went to church every day if there was a revival and got up and went to school in the morning. You know, if there was a shut-in, we were in the back on the floor asleep while they were praying. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. but when I got in trouble, what was in me is what came out, that I had a reference
right.
of the Word of God on the inside of me to know the Word of God. Lord, you said you never leave me nor forsake me, even until the end of the ages. What is what was in me? Lord, forgive me. God, I want to be with you. Like, even if this is the end, it was something that was in me that knew that I had a connection to God in spite of my circumstances or where I was or what I had done or what got me to this place, or, you know what I mean?
Right,
and
yeah.
So, and right before he left, I had to use the restroom, right? And not thinking, like, after the fact, in retrospect now, I think about he killed the girls in the restroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked him, I said, I have to use the restroom. And he said, okay. And he said, don't turn on the light. Like, all of this time, he'd been trying to turn on the light, but now he decided, because earlier I asked him, was I going to I said, is there a tomorrow? And he said, of course there is. And I said, but is there for me? And he kind of, like, paused, like he was thinking about it. And he said, yes. And I said, promise? And he just paused, and then he said, promise. And then when he was leaving, and he told me, don't turn on the light, and then he asked me, did I have any money or any credit cards or anything? And I'm like, I don't have any money. Like, it was in between pay periods. I had nothing to offer. And I'm thinking, Lord have mercy, if I don't have money, then what now? Now he's leaving again, and now I have no money, you know? And he goes to the door. And he can't get out the front door. And so the way my lock was made, you had to turn it the opposite way. It wasn't a regular lock where you turn it to the right. Mine was turned to the left. And so he was like, he couldn't get out. And I'm in the bathroom still in the dark, you know, but my bathroom, you could see the front door from the bathroom. And I was screaming like, turn it to the left, turn it to the left from the bathroom, like trying to help him get out, right?
Right.
And then when he opens up the door and he stops and looks back and he's like, 15 minutes? And I said, yeah, 15 minutes. And as soon as he went out the door, I jumped up, ran to the door and locked it real fast and went and got the phone. The phone was unplugged some kind of way. He unplugged the phone because I was just on it before I went to sleep. So he unplugged the phone when he got up there to the bed. And the crazy part was so many things were off, like he knew my apartment in the dark. He knew how to unplug the phone. There was a knife that had been missing from my apartment that someone had given me for a month. I've been searching for it. It had been up under my pillow. It was gone. That night when he left, it was in the middle of the floor. So the police and FBI felt like he had already previously been in my apartment to and change things, you know, the way he did in like seconds. But when he left, I was thinking about this the other day. When the ambulance got there, I was just like standing there, like I didn't have clothes on or anything. Like I was just crazy. Like I had literally lost it all from the time, that moment. Like I had my sense to know to pray while he was there. But from the moment he left, I was calling 911 and beating on the window. One of my neighbors was leaving, going to work, and I looked out the window and seen him. And I was screaming to him to call my mom because the 911 wouldn't let me hang up, and my parents came and all of that stuff. But when the ambulance got there, I was so, like, out of it. Like, I couldn't even think to put clothes on. Or when I rode in the ambulance, I had to cover up my face and stuff because I couldn't stand to look at the EMT that was in there that was light-skinned male with a bald head. It was like I just couldn't. From that point, I couldn't even think straight. Like, I literally lost my mind, and I didn't talk to anyone. Like, I didn't have any words. I couldn't eat, nothing. For like months, I didn't say a word. Like, I had absolutely nothing to say to anyone. And it's like I lost my voice completely because I was so broken and I lost my faith. And even though I'd grown up in church and I knew the word of God and I knew that God loved me, when it happened, the first thing my heart went to was the devastation of, Lord, how could you? How could you allow that to happen? Like, how could you allow somebody to come in and do that after everything that I've already experienced? How could you, you know? And I remember going to counseling one time. They wanted to put me in the hospital for 2 weeks. And the lady went out the room to go talk to somebody, and it's like I could just hear the enemy telling me, go ahead and jump out the window. These people can't help you. And it was nothing but God to keep me, you know. And they gave me pills to sleep. I couldn't sleep. I was too afraid. I would take the pill early enough to sleep at night, but I was so scared that I'd stay up all night long, and then I'd go to work in the daytime and sleep in my car, or, you know, go to a desk and sleep at a desk because I was just too scared to function normally. So now, when I talk to people or when I deal with people with issues like mine, I try to talk from a point of being whole but understanding brokenness. Because a lot of times, especially, you know, I'm a minister, so when I speak, I preach. For years I've preached and spoken and, you know, preached the word of God, you know, like God give it to me. But not being able to just be transparent and give from a place of where I was hurt from so that I can really help somebody. And after everything, like after going through the rape and after experiencing molestation, I end up marrying this man who was, I mean, like a complete sweetheart. And we got married and it went down fast. Like he went from being this sweetheart, this amazing man that loved me, to being the person who I could tell was angry from the moment he walked in the door. Like I knew, looking at him walk, he's mad. He just got off work. He was a truck driver. He hadn't seen me in weeks, but when he came in the door, he was mad. So I knew that it wasn't going to go well, you know? And so I
wow.
went from, yes, marrying him, standing that relationship, almost 10 years of abuse, mental and physical and verbal, and it was just too much. And to seal the deal, when he left, he wrote me a note saying that he was sorry and he wasn't good enough for me. And then when he finally left, he told me he meant none of that. He just said it so that my crazy self, so that I wouldn't kill myself with my crazy mind. And I'm telling you, I was a minister. Like, I was in a place of, okay, Lord, like, after everything that I have gone through, you have got to be transforming me and changing me into something that I cannot see. Like, Daryl Coley has this song, I believe it's him, that says, he's preparing me for something that I can't handle right now. Like, I can't handle this right now, but I know that God has prepared me for something. He is trying to push me into a place that he can get the glory out of each and every situation that I've been through, because I couldn't totally grasp or understand how God could step back and just say, okay, devil, go head on, like he did Job. Go ahead on and do what you want to do. You know, and it's such a real and relevant feeling in the world today, and so many people, not just in the world but also the church, have that same feeling of hurt and devastation and brokenness and, Lord, why, and I don't understand, but don't know how to get to that place, because so many people are masked with the I'm okay, we're okay, everything's good, you know, saga. And God just ministered to me and he said, you got to rip the bandage. And that's where my ministry name comes from. You have to rip the bandage. You have to tear out the bandage that is covering this wound, that is causing you not to heal, because if you keep a Band-Aid on for so long, it never dries out. It stays wet, and then it festers and it gets worse, because it's never in a place to get air. It can't breathe because it's closed up. And you have to rip the bandage so that God can heal you. Will it hurt? Yes, it hurts. It hurts. Every time I had to dig into what's dealing with me, and I always say, you have to deal with what's dealing with you, because if you don't, what's dealing with you will kill you, and you'll never reach your full potential or purpose in God, to the place that God is trying to press you into. You know, the Bible says that we have to press towards the mark for the prize of a high calling in Christ Jesus. We have to press in. That lets me know that whatever you're trying to get to is not going to be easy to get there. Because anytime you press something, you have to put your strength and your might into it. And when you're broken and when you're hurt and when you're wounded, you tend to operate from that place of hurt. And anytime something happens, you lash out, because that hurt on the inside of you is where you live. You know, who you show people is one place, where you show people you're at. But where you live at is a whole nother situation, because when I walk out the door, no one can tell what's in my house, because I've shut the door and I've locked it, and you just have this beautiful edifice on the outside. And so this is what I show you. But God wants us to rip the bandage and have a face-off with ourselves and open up that house so he can walk in and minister to the broken places in us. And so that's my ministry. That's what I do. And it didn't birth overnight, because like for almost, it happened 17 years ago to me. 2 years ago, no, take that back. The year before last year, which was 2014, is the first time that I talked about it. Like, I had family members that didn't even know that I was the last victim. They didn't have a clue. But I was crazy, you know? So we hold so much in. But had I never stepped out to try to do a ministry. Somebody asked me to work with a ministry, not knowing what I had been through, to work with little kids in Boo the Ghost. I never forget it. Was Latoya, I think her last name is Brown. She asked me to work with her in Boo the Ghost to help the little children know the signs of molestation and to talk about rape or whatever, my story. And I was like, Lord, I can't do that. I mean, the first time I was supposed to go, I didn't even show up. I was a no-call, no-show because I knew I wasn't ready, you know. I knew I wasn't ready. And so I went, but when I finally went, somebody told me, said, you should go because what if God is trying to heal you through what if God is trying to heal you through you helping somebody else? And that couldn't have been, oh, my God. If I tell you, it was like opening up my insides, like where I feel like now I'm living and breathing and walking and not just existing, you know, in the world for the first time. But it took me having to step out and be broken and cut up and wounded and let somebody else see that Evangelist Adrienne Burdine feels is not this just old cold-blooded creature, you know, that everything is just good, you know, but a wounded, broken person that God had to step in and whip me into shape and say, now, come on, girl, I got you. We're going to do this, you know?
Wow. Whatever happened to Dale?
He was executed on my birthday.
Wow.
February 10th, he was executed. Let me tell you what's so crazy about this. The year that he got executed is the year that I went through divorce. I found out all of the craziness from my ex-husband was doing. And he didn't come home on my birthday. Me not knowing that Dale DeVonchinette was going to be executed on my birthday, he didn't come home. I'm at home for my birthday by myself with my baby at the time. And I see it on the news. Dale DeVonchinette, known as the bathtub serial killer, is being executed tonight at 6. It was 6-something p.m. I was like, shut up. And it was like God was saying, he took him on my actual birthday and allowing me to live. Like, I gave you birth on this day. Naturally, not spiritually, but naturally, I gave you birth on this day. And I'm also about to give you birth spiritually on this day. It was like my whole life just turned around. Like, what is that? What? How could that even happen? You know, like, how do they pick my birthday out of all of the days in the world to execute the person who I literally felt like took my life when he walked into my apartment?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Craziness. And I never even believed in execution or anything like that. I can't even honestly say that I still feel the same way. I believe in it now. I can't say that. But I can say that I know that God is extremely intentional in everything that he does it with purpose.
That he does. Wow. We do have some callers. What I'm going to do, because I know some people may have some comments or some questions, because your testimony, it's a wow. So I'm going to open up the lines, and if you're in a noisy place, please go to somewhere quiet, because this does pick up every single thing. Oh, let's see if it's going to even. There we go. Start opening up the lines. Let's see. Because I know some people may have something they want to say, may have some comments or some questions. So I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to say something before the call is almost over. So I'm letting everyone know the lines are open. So please feel free to ask or have a comment to Ms. Fields. Does anyone have anything to say?
I have a comment I like to make. My name is Co-Pastor Shirley Lewis, and I just want to say I thank God for what he's done for my daughter and going through the process of the whole situation, her lifestyle, her whole life, from the time that she was a baby to now, and how God has done such great things for her. even when she was born, she was sick. So, you know, it's like God has always been there to take care of her and protect her from everything and to protect her mind and to just assure that during the time after she had got raped, she stayed with us and she slept with me. My husband actually moved to another room so that she could have the bed with me. And I tell you, it was such a hard situation, a hard place. But God is a God who removes the hurt. He cures the hurt. He don't just stop. He cures that hurt because we were like searching for the guy and trying to, you know, see if we could find him and, you know, try to go back to all the spots where he killed other people. And then my husband would go and sit at night at the apartment where she lived to see if he could see him walking around because from the description. But just think now years, almost over 20 years now, that we haven't had to worry about that because that mm-hmm. hurt has been revealed, and it has broke a lot of yokes in my life. It made me want to even draw closer to my girls because of that. I was so overprotective of them. You wouldn't believe all of this. I didn't even allow them to go outside and play across. We stayed in an apartment where the park was right across the hallway. You could just walk right across the street to it. And I just didn't never feel safe with my children being away. We had just moved here from Colorado Springs, and so I didn't know a lot of people. I went to school here, but I didn't know anybody in my adult life here that I could, in the apartment where I lived, or I could depend on. So when my kids just go out there, I know such and such. You know how people do. I didn't have mm-hmm. that security, so I was very overprotected. So, and I just thank God for how he let me know that I couldn't do it. He had to do it for me. I had to release her to be who God wanted to make her be this day. And for every trial and for every temptation, and every hurt that we suffered even together and have shared and cried and held each other. And it made our relationship so strong because we bonded in the hurt. It was no separation. And it's amazing because it was hard at first. Because for me, I didn't even talk about it until openly until 2014. I never would bring it up because I thought it was just a bad place. But when she went and met Rebecca Lopez, that was one of the greatest things uh-huh. that could have ever happened to us. And I wouldn't even be, like when they did the film for the movie, I didn't even feel comfortable being on TV, and they wanted me to do that and then sign a paper and everything to do our church. And I just didn't feel comfortable because I just wanted her to be free, totally free before all this stuff, you know, our mother's thing. But because of all of this, we're whole now, you know. We're on the way to recovery. Still things that I have to work on the inside, but with my own self, you know how you doubt, you know, that why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that as a parent.
Yes.
But now I feel so secure knowing that God is everything, you know, that he's
yes.
more than enough, you know.
Wow.
I just want to share that. And never underestimate your eyes for your babies. You know, you are really the true protector for them. And always keep your eyes on what you don't see, you know, because
uh-huh.
that's how God operates, you know. That's what he does for us. And sometimes we'll take our eyes off of it and make it be something else when it's really a reality that you hate to face. So we have to face all the hurt and all the realities in our lives, and you can no longer hide it. It has to be exposed. So I tell mothers when I'm talking to them and when I'm ministering to somebody at church and they're going through that. As a matter of fact, I went to court a few months ago with somebody.
Mom.
That was okay, I won't say that, but so we just have to keep praying and keep people up before God.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anyone else that has something they want to say or a comment or question?
Yes, my name is Ebony Davis. I would like to tell Adrian thank you. I didn't go through anything like what she went through. Mine were more along the lines of you know what? I had started my healing process, but it was stopped. And just listening to her, although I know it's going to be painful, if she can do it, maybe I can do it, because sometimes you don't want to go through something painful, go through the healing process, because you know it's going to be painful.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that she said, you know, I don't even know how to. All I can really say is what the host said in the beginning. Sometimes your paths cross,
mm-hmm.
and it's a blessing.
Yes,
I'm naturally a very well spoken person, but her testimony actually just floored me. It just totally floored me. And then to say that she did not cry not one time. I have a lot mm-hmm. of healing to do. And one day, you all will hear my testimony, because she gave me a strength from a place that I have been hiding for a long time.
Wow.
That's all I can say. If anybody knows me, they know I'm a very well-spoken person, but she just really, like, put me at a loss for words. I've never fumbled over my words like this, but I know I have a lot of healing to do, and I will owe it to you all to give you my testimony one day. Because it's
when
not
we
just
look
one
forward to hearing.
Yeah, it's not just one thing, but everything she just said hit home. You do get to a place where you kind of, I've lost faith before. I regained it, but you still kind of holding on by a string until you really find that place of some kind of healing. It's kind of like, God, I know you exist, but show me yourself, because I'm in a lot of pain. And we become very good at hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say. Thank you. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that has something to say?
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes. Okay. Oh, hi. My name is Tanita Bryant. Very, very longtime friends with Miss Adrienne, and I am so grateful for her testimony. I just want to encourage all of the women on here, men alike, if there are any men, find someone you can trust and talk to. Even though you're coming from a place of brokenness, God is truly a restorer of the whole man. It happened to me twice, and it took many, many years before I said anything to anybody. People that I knew, I blamed myself, and as a result, got into all type of sexual impurities and things that I had no business getting entangled with because of those soul ties and because I didn't reach out. I, too, grew up in the church, and I knew the word. However, I allowed the enemy to entangle my mind with those things and blame myself for many, many years. But God, he truly is a restorer, again, of the whole man. Once I began to speak out about those things, talk about those things, when my mother finally found out, she understood my life a whole lot differently than she did before. And now God is able to use those things to encourage other women and even some young men that I've had the opportunity to minister to as well. But my encouragement is to find someone that you can trust to speak out about it, because you are not going to be able to help yourself holding it in. As much as it hurts, you have to speak to somebody. And I'm grateful for her testimony because, again, I've known her so long, and she's helped so many people, and she encourages so many people more than she probably doesn't even know. But I'm just grateful to be in her life, and I'm grateful that God is using her in that capacity, grateful that God allows us to go through the things that make our ministries great. So that's all I wanted to say. I just encourage you guys to find someone you can trust and speak out.
Thank you. The lines are still open for anyone else that may have something they want to say.
Hi, my name is Kayla. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I was just wanted to thank Adrienne. She has helped me a lot in my time of need and needing to talk to her. And I just thank God for her putting her in my life as well. I've been knowing her for a long, long time, since I was a baby. And, you know, she really encourages me every day. And she talks to me, and I just really appreciate that. I'm glad that God put her in my life, and even more so now. I didn't really know her testimony, and when I had found out, I was just in shock. I was like, no, not Adrienne. But, you know, she said, but God took her through it, everything. And I was just amazed how good of a person she has turned out to be. Because she could have been a mean person and not love and not be caring and kind and giving like she is. But I really, really do thank God for her and appreciate her so much. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Miss Adrienne, I personally want to say once again thank you. I do know that you are a very busy woman of God, and you didn't have to share your story on our radio show on We Are Survivors. So I personally want to say thank you. And like I said, it was a treat to have met you last week. And I know God brought us together for a reason, and I'm just grateful and thankful that you did take the time out once again to minister, because that's what God has set us up to do, is minister, to help heal his children and to bring his children closer into him. Because in order for us to heal, we have to turn to him. In order for us to become whole again, we have to turn to him. So I just want to thank you. And before our time winds down, is there anything that you want to finish out with?
Yes. Thank you for having me on tonight. And I just want to let everybody know on the prayer line, the blog, to thank you for the nice things you said. And thank you for just giving me the opportunity to tell my story, and I just hope that it helped somebody. I know that it helped. I think the lady said her name was Ebony. Thank you, Miss Ebony, for sharing a piece of you with us. And know that God is a restorer of the broken, and he is a healer. You know, a lot of times people think that God can do it for certain people, but he can't do it for me. But I want you to know that God is no respecter of person. What he done for me, he do for you. That he thinks a lot of you. He thinks the world of you. If you were the last person left on this earth, he would have still died and gave his only son just for you. That's how much he loves you. So don't you ever quit or give up on the process or on yourself because you are broken or you feel hurt and wondering why this and why that. Know that God knew that you can handle it, and he knew that when you come out of this, when you're stronger, because Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. But when you come out of this and you're stronger, you go back and you punish that devil that's been punishing you all these years and making you feel less than and broken and like you're not going to make it. You go back and you find people in that same place that you have been in all of these years, and you help them out of that hole that they're in, and let them know that he did it for you and he'll do it for them. And that'll be all that God is looking for from you. You may cry today, but you won't cry tomorrow, because God is that kind of God. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You got this. You're going to be all right. That's what I want to say. And thank you
yes.
for having me on here tonight.
if someone wants to get on your prayer line, what is the number for them to get on your prayer line? And when is it?
It's,
as we close out.
It's on It's on Wednesday nights at 8:30 p.m. The number is 857-232-0159, and the passcode is 892-737. I also have a Rip the Bandage page, Facebook page. You can always reach me on there if you want me to pray, you just want to talk, you want to cry, you need me to listen, want me to cry with you. I will cry with you and pray you through. So you can look me up on Rip the Bandage prayer line, or you can call in the prayer line. And I love you guys.
Thank you so much. And for those who were driving and couldn't write that down, you can give me a call, and I will definitely hook you up with Ms. Fields. The number is 214-454-2933. Once again, We Are Survivors phone number is 214-454-2933. In case you couldn't get all that information down, if you reach out to us, I'll make sure you get in contact with her. Once again, I want to thank everyone for being on this show. I am thankful that God brought you to listen. We are here to help you, to support, to guide, and listen, and to lift you up in the name of Jesus. We will always worship his holy name. God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.